source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Hey everybody, good evening and welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
I'm Stephanie, and here we are, another dreary Tuesday in the land of 10,000 lakes.
It is. We're going to have 20,000 soon.
I know. I swear we will.
I mean, I know we have more than 10,000 officially, but we are going to be the land of 35,000 lakes here by the end of the month. So,
I think so.
It's all good. What do you do other than buy a boat?
Yeah. But, you know, here it is it was May 19th on Sunday when we were driving back from up north, and it was snowing.
Yeah, so it was.
once we got south of Hill City, which is a ways up, we were up really far, so this is, a little south from there. We're driving, and the rain is getting thicker and thicker, and I'm like, I think it's snowing. And sure enough, the further we got, the more snow there was actually accumulating on the ground. Okay.
Yep.
It was May 19th.
Yep.
Come on.
I saw it. People were posting on social media. There was a couple inches in various places around the state. And in South Dakota, too. I think I saw people in South Dakota that had some snow, too.
Isn't that just ridiculous? I mean, what's going on? It's just nuts. And it's chilly. It's just, it never really gets warm here. I don't know what to think about this.
Well, this is the global warming epidemic. Here it is.
Yeah, I know it because, they're just, it's just pure craziness, craziness. But anyway, hopefully, Memorial Day weekend, usually we say is the kickoff to summer. And that's the weekend that everybody jumps in the lake for the first time. Well, I don't think many people are going to be jumping in the lake this year on Memorial Day.
No.
Because it's cold.
I don't even know if I'd go in a boat.
It's cold. That water is cold. I know. It's true. So,
really hot, then you might want to get into some really, really cold water, but I don't think it's going to be. So,
no. But what's weird is last week we did have a couple of really nice days that were sunny and warm, and then right back,
Yep.
Like it gets our hopes up, and then there we go. What can I say? But yeah, so did you have a good weekend this weekend?
I did. Yeah, it was a busy weekend. I was at the studio all day on Saturday, and then I was able to catch the tail end of a powwow up in Elk River. They had, and it was indoors, thankfully, because it was kind of cold and windy on Saturday. We didn't have the snow here, of course, but yeah, it was still kind of cold and windy. So thankfully, it was inside. So I got to be a part of that a little bit. That was really neat. The music and the singing and the dancing was really, really cool to watch and be able to witness that. So that was neat. And I heard
you saw Ghost Dance there.
Yeah, saw Ghost Dance, and I met some other people that I had only seen on social media, and so I got to meet them in person, and that was very cool. Mm-hmm. And hang out for a little bit. I actually acquired a Ouija board as well. So thank you. I know I won't say any names on the air, but the gal who I received that from, I met her on Saturday, and she gave it to me, and it was really nice hanging out with her. She's a really cool gal, and it was an honor to hang out at her house for a little bit, and I got the Ouija board, so I'm going to have to figure out what the plan is for that, what that's going to be somewhere in the Halloween open house, I have a feeling, and yeah, so that was fun, and then Sunday I was back at the studio doing a transformation journey and a shamanic breath work, and that was, like, it blows the roof off of your human soul, your human self, to connect with your soul. So that's really cool. And it blows the roof off of the actual building because I had bought another mega speaker. And yeah, so it gets really loud. And that's super cool because we need it loud so we can blow the roof off of your human self to connect with your soul. So there it is.
Well, very cool.
Yeah.
Very
so cool. It was a busy weekend and a fun weekend. And yeah, it was really neat though. I think the powwow was really, that was really nice. And God, the drums, like that, I could have listened to the music, the singing and the drums. I could have listened to that all day, like all day. And the dancing was really beautiful too. And the outfits, but the drums, man, they get into you. They're huge. And they've got like five guys sitting around and pounding on them and singing and just like, wow.
Yeah.
Really moving.
Oh, yeah.
Those really moving.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, very cool. Yeah, I, you know, it's a 3-day weekend this weekend, and I'm really hoping that I don't have a million places to be, you know, because I kind of just need to be home and get caught up here and do some gardening and whatever, get the yard in shape and whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, and I was bummed that I couldn't go up there, but I had some of this planned for, well, I've had some of it planned for about 6 months. So, you know, that's how I roll with my schedule. But yeah, I was bummed that I couldn't go up. I don't know what I would have done because I wouldn't have actually gone into the woods. So I'd stand outside and offer tape lint rollers when you come out so that you could detick, and then I'd drive in a separate car. That's what I would have done because there's no way I've gotten it in 10 feet of you getting out of the woods.
You know, so we went up on Friday morning, and we went out in the woods as soon as we ate something, and then we went out in the woods right away. And found some really incredible stuff this weekend, not Bigfoot, but you know, we weren't necessarily searching for Bigfoot. We were looking for other cryptids as well. But the things that we found, so on Friday night, it seems like when we go up there, we never have a lot of time. So we kind of always go in the same spots that we know there's activity, and like that place where Heidi, we were in, and we know there's that portal and stuff.
Yep.
Well, this time we went there to that road, and we couldn't get through because there's so much mud and muck because it's so wet up there.
Yep.
So we backed up and went out, and then we turned down the road that we'd never been on before. You know, and we're all like, why have we never gone down here? It's so remote. We didn't see a car the entire time we were out there. Mm-hmm. And we went into this area and got out and trudged through the woods, and there's a lot of videos on the Squatchers page that Kim has uploaded today because she was videoing like mad, that girl. And we just had a lot of fun. So Katie and I went one way, and Kim and Cindy were in a different place, and Katie and I went further because I kept thinking we needed to get to these woods across from this clearing, you know. And it's hard going because somebody had been in there and chopped all the trees down. I'm sure it was something to do with the fire thing. You know what I mean? Cause they do it occasionally. So it was all, you know, trees and branches laying there. It was hard to get through, but I felt like we needed to get there. It took us a long time to get there. And then all of a sudden we hear the other girls yelling, "We're leaving. We stepped in a nest of ticks. We're out of here," you know? And we're like, okay, well, we're over here. And, so we didn't go far into there, but I sat on a log and looked, and there's stuff happening there. We have to get back there at some point, you know. But then we all came out, and then we drove a little bit further and came to this. We saw these weird things, like we found these arches, and you know, we talked about the arches up at Carlos Avery.
Yeah.
And here, though, there were like 12 or 13 of them. Weather made, I don't know, maybe, but they were different. You know, like we see trees that are fallen all the time by snow and stuff. And these were like all together. And there was one bunch that was kind of crisscrossed. There was like three or four of them that were all kind of crisscrossed. And I went back there in the sludge and, you know, because it was so wet up there. And so there was pondy and stuff. And I got under this one that had like three or four or five of them. And all of a sudden, my heart started like beating out of control. Like I thought I was going to have a heart attack, you know.
Is that the place that you sent the pictures?
Yes. Okay. And so I felt like, oh my God, my heart is beating out of control. And then my blood was thundering in my temples. And I'm like, oh, this is, there's wild energy right here, you know? And then pretty soon, Katie came and she said, oh gosh, this is terrible. I feel like I can't breathe stuff. This is bad. And I'm like, well, there's something here. And then Cindy came and Cindy immediately got a headache. You know, and she said, I never get headache stuff. This is bizarre. And so we all walked away from that one little area. And the minute we got, you know, probably 10 feet away, we were all fine. So there's something there. And we kept going back, you know, to test it, whatever. And bizarre. And, you know, I don't know what they're, it reminds me of that place up in the woods that we found up there, not too far away from there. Well, it's, you know, probably 10 miles away. But, you know, it has that same kind of feeling, but much stronger, much more intense, more intense. And so the next day we were with, we were up there with Don Sherman and Andrea, and I was telling him about this place. And I said, Don, I want to take you there. And he said, okay. And I showed him where it was on the map. And so he and Andrea went back to their place to get boots, and he wanted to get a winch because he thought we were going to get stuck. You know, he comes prepared, I tell you. And so Andrea went in there, and she gets down there, and I was in there first. Same feelings I was having. Here comes Andrea. And she says, I don't feel anything. And then all of a sudden, oh, my God, my heart. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I feel like, oh, my God, unbelievable, you know. And we stayed there for a little bit, and then we went back up to the road. And then Don went in, and we stayed back, and it was just Don and Andrea. And Andrea, of course, got all the same thing because she got there first, and she was, you know, kind of making the gestures with her hands and stuff. Now, Don didn't feel anything, which is interesting. So that's bizarre, isn't it? But what is there? I don't know. I told them, you know, because they live close there. I said, you know, you need to come back and look at this every once in a while. Because, you know, when the when the full flora of summer is there, you would never see those arches. You would never know that.
It'd be really hard.
But now that we know it's there and we know the landmarks, we'll go back, you know, several times. I said it would be fun to go back at night and see what appears underneath that arch. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, like we talk about the structures up where we are. Well, maybe this is the same thing, you know? But I don't feel such energy out where we go. So I, you know, just bizarre things. And, you know, we just went back and, you know, and then the next day we were out and it was raining and, you know, 39 degrees, raining, and we didn't get to do what we originally went up there to do because that involved a boat and a river, and we just couldn't do it, you know. So, but we went out anyway because we were going to make the most of it, and got back in a place where we had never been before either. You know, it was very fun because we discovered all these new places. And I knew there was a lake there, and I said, come on, let's walk to the lake, because we couldn't bring the journey any further because it was just the road, the little tiny trail was too muddy, you know. And so we started walking, and we were walking. Finally I caught sight of this lake, and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get over there, I gotta see it. And I saw that it was pretty marshy, pretty mucky, but there were boards there for like a canoe, like anybody who wanted to put a canoe out perhaps, you know, could do that in drier times. But you know me. And so there I go. And I thought there I was gonna stay on the boards. Thought I was going to stay on the boards, but of course that didn't happen. And I had my left leg was on one, and my right leg got into the bog, and it just sucked it right in. And so the muck was coming into my boot is how, you know, and these are knee high boots. And I'm like, I kind of let out a little scream because you know how I am. And then here comes Cindy, and she's like, what are you doing in there? And of course I'm laughing. I'm like, well, I guess I'm just being stupid, you know? And she comes, it was quite a thing. It took a long time. I had to pull my leg out, and then she had to somehow get my boot out because there was no way I could walk back 2 miles in the cold rain without a boot, you know? But the video is up on Facebook, and it's really hysterical. You know, if anybody wants to see it, there are a lot of videos up there. Kim has posted a bunch of our adventures up there. She even posted one of the wood tick crawling all over her neck, all over her hands. So, but we were warned, you know, we have some really good friends who are researchers up there, and, you know, they called me, you know, one of them called me, he actually was on our show about a month or so ago. And he said, Steph, when you guys are out there, beware of this tick. And it's a new kind of tick, and it's bad news. You know, if you get bit by him, you know, you could be in the hospital in no time. You know, it's bad. You need to check your clothes the minute you get out of the woods and make sure that there's nothing on you. So, you know, point well taken. And so we were careful. And when we got out of those woods, you know, we were checking each other and, you know, making sure everything was gone. But yeah, it was really fun. But we were out there in the rain and the 39 degree temperatures from 10:30 in the morning until 8:30 at night. So we were exhausted by the time mm-hmm. we got back, but it was so fun. And like I said, we found so many new places, for us to look. Quicksand. Yes, Swanee. In fact, Cindy said, I didn't know we had quicksand in Minnesota. You know, I mean, it was because it kept, I kept moving my leg around and I couldn't get it out and I kept trying and, you know, there was just no way. You know, the video is pretty good. It really is pretty good. So you guys should all go out to the Squatchers page and look at it. And then you can, you know, the land up there is beautiful. There is no doubt about it. Just gorgeous, remote, thick woods. Don brought us to one of his favorite spots, which was really fun. And we walked back. I don't even know how far. But we, you know, we just had a really good time, and it's always good to hang out with other researchers too, because it's yep. amazing what they can teach you and what they, you know, like I said, what is cool to me, Heidi, is that we know a lot of them up there now. So if something's happening up there and they know we're up there, they will call us and say, okay, this is what's going on. Be careful. This is what you need to do, you yep. know? And, you know, and Don lives really close to where we were. So I know when I got stuck in the mud, he had texted me and said, hey, we're going into Bina for lunch. Why don't you meet us at the restaurant? And I said, okay, well, I got stuck in the mud, so I'm all muddy. I'm not going to go back to change, you know? And he's like, oh, do you need help? I'll bring the truck. And I'm like, no, it was my leg. And I'm out, you know? So, yeah, so it's, you know, it's fabulous. I just love it up there. And we'll be back up there now in just a couple of weeks, probably not right there, but we're going to be back more in the Big Fork area up where Karin lives. So, we'll be out squatching for that too. So we have a lot of different times we're going to be up there this year. So it'll be fun, but yeah, so that's the Squatchers weekend. We had lots of adventures, lots of crazy things happen. You know, it was just girls being girls in the woods and we had so much fun, but we got a lot of work done too. So it's all good.
Good.
Yeah. So anyhow, enough about the Squatchers stuff. So tonight I thought it would be fun to talk about rocks and crystals. And I know you use them a lot in your practice, Heidi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some that are my favorites here in my house, you know, that I've found and, you know, and in the sea and everywhere. But I know that you have so many different kinds, there in the studio. In fact, when you have a Reiki section, you know, we always hold a stone and, you know, you have many different kinds of stones there too. So I thought, you know, you could tell us, maybe give us some hints as to what kind of stones are the best, and we can talk about how to take care of them and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you had said that you wanted to talk about stones and crystals because you were drawn to a lot of the quartz crystals, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so, you know, like one of the crystals that I've always loved are, amethyst. You know, part of the reason I was drawn to that is it was my mom's birthstone, which is always a good thing. But when I was in high school, we did the whole journey around Lake Superior. And one of the things that we went to was this amethyst mine. It was the coolest thing. And I brought back, and I still have it sitting on the bedside table. It's a big chunk of amethyst, raw, nothing, never polished. It's just like it came right out of that mine. And it looks like it's in the shape of like a pyramid, right? But small, mm-hmm. like this, you know. So I've always liked, you know, the whole amethyst thing. And then out on the island, of course, you know, I'm always picking rocks on the beach, and I'm always going for the sea quartz. I call them the sea quartz because they're that beautiful greenish color, or the white ones, you know, and, or, you know,
are you talking about like clear quartz or?
Well, they're kind of opaque, you know, but they're quartz. I should show you one on the Skype so you can see it, because I have a bunch here. But and the other thing that we find a lot of up there too is sea jasper, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that too. But it's all very calming. And, you know, if I'm having a hard day, I just take one and I put it in my hand and I just kind of rub it around a little bit, you know, and it makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that crystals and, you know, quartz are all like that, you know. So tell us what you know.
And go.
And go. Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. I mean, God, this could be like a 4-hour show, but, I do love working with stones and crystals. And like you said, when I have group meditations, I love showing people where I have a stash that's just for group meditations and, shamanic Reiki sessions, so that, anytime I find a stone that I think should go into that pile, which I actually need a bigger shelf now, because my shelf is they're starting to fall off the shelf because there's so many on the shelf. Because I let people go in there and say, hey, feel free to pick one that suits you. Even if you don't know what it means, it doesn't matter. It's just, pick one that's, you know, calling out to you, and you can hold it during the group meditation. Or, you know, a lot of times for the shamanic Reiki session, my spirit guides pick it out and tell me, like, have them hold this one. So, because I think it's nice when you can energetically connect with a stone, even if, because I know some people get really caught up in what the meaning is, what do they do, what's the purpose. And I think it's fine, you know, to have an interest in that, but also to just let them speak to you. Like, you don't even know why you're drawn to it, but you just feel like you need to hold it. Because one of the things too that we think, we get so caught up in like overthinking things, I think sometimes with, oh, this is going on in my life right now, so I need this stone. Like you said, you have a bunch of stones and you just pick one and you hold it and it works. You know, it doesn't matter what it means or whatever. It's just you like that one and so you want to hold it. Or it reminds you of your mom. You know, it doesn't matter what the properties are of the stone or what it's supposed to do metaphysically or spiritually based on some website that you read, whatever. It's just like you like it. Yeah. And I think that's really the way to go when it comes to different stones and crystals is, you know, let it just speak to you. And because, like I said, you know, we get so caught up in, oh, I'm so stressed and anxiety and I need to hold lapidolite because that's going to be really good for blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But maybe the reason you're stressed or you have anxiety is because there was some wound that was triggered from something that happened today, but it was actually triggering an event that happened to you 15, 20, 30 years ago. It doesn't matter how long ago, but that may not be what the stone would be most helpful for, is not treating the symptom, but treating the source, you know, treating the reason that you're, you know, stressed is from a trigger that happened, an event that happened a long time ago. So maybe a different stone would actually be more helpful. So if you just let yourself kind of sit in front of your stones and just pick whatever one resonates, I think that's more of a helpful way to work with them. Than getting so caught up in the meanings. And because we are not clever a lot of times as humans, we're not that clever. And we have a lot of things going on within us on so many levels from so many different places that we can't possibly think that we have it figured out when something is bothering us that we might exactly know why. And we might think we know why, and it might seem like it's so obvious that we know why, but it may not be what we think. And that's where it's just let the universe kind of help you out and take a load off and just let them talk to you or, you know, through the stones or whatever.
Yeah.
So I like to do it that way. But it's not to say that there aren't properties that are helpful, because I think sometimes the stones speak to you and you don't know what they mean when you're called to it. And then you're holding it and maybe you do look it up later and go, oh my gosh, that kind of fits. Like that was helpful. So it goes both ways. So anyway.
Yeah. It's true. But yeah, but I do think stones are, you know, if you find something you like, you should hold it because it means to something to you. Like all these stones that I find in the sea out on San Juan Island, they're from the island, right? So obviously they hold a special power for me. Right. And I would hope that if I gave you some, Heidi, they would for you too. I should give you a couple and see what you think. You know what I mean?
I mean, just to hold it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think you would be surprised, actually. You know?
Yeah, no, I love, and you know, people, I'm really grateful that so many people bring some of their stones and things into the studio to, you know, when we have a session, or they just bring them in when there's a class and say, hey, can you look at this? And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll look at it. I love looking at this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I just, I find it so fascinating, especially if it's something that I haven't come across before. I mean, there's so many kinds of stones out there. So I love when someone brings something in and I'm like, wow, I haven't seen this before. Oh, I've seen it, but I've not had a chance to interact with it. So that's kind of cool. So I'm really, grateful when people bring things in. And it's funny because sometimes people feel kind of silly that they're dragging their stuff around. I'm like, no, bring it in. because I do believe that these are tools that can help us, and mm-hmm. they can speak to us energetically for sure. So, you know, if it's something you want to learn more about, or you want to bring with you because it's telling you for whatever reason, bring me with you, then who cares? Just do it.
Right.
So, yeah.
I agree. So what can stones do for you, Heidi? Other than, you know, like I said, I kind of like to hold them and they make me feel good. And, you know, I know that they say that amethyst helps you sleep better, which is why I have mine on my bedside table, you know, for example. Give us kind of a little what they can do for us, you know, the right stones.
They can do so many things for us. I mean, truly, now, one of the things that I might differ in opinion from some people out there is that I don't think the stone is going to do the whatever it is that you want. It's not going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. Stones are helpful tools to channel intention and to focus intention. So, you know, like you said, you like amethyst because it helps you sleep better. And I know that it's good for having positive dreams and mm-hmm. connecting with maybe higher beings. So that's very cool. Mm-hmm. So, but it's not going to do the work for you.
Right.
You know, it's not going to make the dreams better. It's not going to make you sleep better. But if it helps you focus your intention into that's where your energy goes, into having a more restful night's sleep or maybe having some positive dreams, then that amethyst has the vibration to help that happen. But you have to channel that energy, you know, working with this tool helps you channel that intention. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to give you better dreams and it's not going to help you sleep better, but it will help you focus that intention to do
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So any stone can do that. You know, depending on where it vibrates, that it can do different things can help you channel that intention better. If that makes sense.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. So Dave is talking about a stone called catlinite.
Yeah, I haven't heard of stone. That. And that's what he's saying in the chat room. It's also called pipestone. And, oh, he said that the red bear claw mm-hmm. necklace he was wearing on Saturday was catlinite. No, I haven't heard of that. I am intrigued. I'll have to look it up. I don't, you know, now that we're talking about it, maybe I'll come across it at some point in the near future and I can check it out because that sounds awesome.
Right.
I love stones and I have a lot at the studio. You've seen.
Oh, yeah. You have a ton at the studio for sure.
And I sell a lot too now because I found a couple places that I can get it and I can sell it. So, I love stones and I have, well, let's see here. It's almost at the break. So I can talk about some of my favorites when we come back from the break.
Yeah. So let's do that. So we'll go to break. So this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Network, and we will be back in two.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
I'm sure you're wondering why you received this tape from a random stranger.
What was that?
What?
I heard something. Like what?
Like a gunshot.
But is it really random? Am I really a stranger? Or are we connected in some way? To a web of lies and deceit? Possibly murder?
I'm sorry about our argument the other day. I'd like to make it up to you. In your office. I've been such a bad girl. I need you to correct me.
Okay. I'll unlock the door.
Hello, Ben! How are you?
You see, I hear things, see things. I know everything. To protect myself, I need these stories to be told.
Blood Noir is a crime and horror anthology show. Stories about people caught in desperate times and only have one way out.
Welcome back here to The Gathering on the Para-X Network, and we are talking about stones and crystals tonight. And we had a question during the break from Swanee in the chat room, and he said, because we were talking about stones helping focus intention and focus energy based on the different vibrations that they, you know, any of them can help do that. If it resonates with you, it's going to help you do something that you connect with it. It doesn't matter if anybody on the internet or in a book says that's what it can do. It doesn't matter. If you connect with it in a certain way, that's what it's going to help you focus your intention to do. And so Swanee in the chat room asked, he said, if I understand, they do not store and release energy. Yes, they can store and release energy. They can help us focus our intention based on the vibration that they have, that they, whatever vibration that they are, but they are energy. So yes, they do store and can release energy. So your amethyst, Steph, is a perfect example. Because I used to keep one by my bed too. And then I stopped because I started having awful dreams and I couldn't sleep and it was a nightmare. It was awful, like literally a nightmare. And I was like, this piece of junk, like what the, you know?
Yeah.
And, but what I wasn't doing is I wasn't clearing it on a regular basis. This was a long time ago. And so, you know, as soon as I started having a not comfortable night's sleep and I was having kind of weird dreams, you know, this little stone is just sitting there sending and receiving, you know, they're kind of, you know, because they're at this different vibrate or this, whatever their vibration is, but they're also taking in energies and releasing energies. So it was, you know, kind of taking in some of my energies and then just re-releasing them. So every time I go to bed, it was just sitting there re-releasing some of my old junk because I wasn't clearing it. So they can store and release energy. This is like the energy that they're vibrating at, you know? And so if they're clear and vibrating, they're going to be vibrating at a level that can be helpful for certain things, but it's not going to do it for you. That's maybe the misunderstanding. I was teaching a class once and we were talking about protections, spiritual protections. And she had, I don't remember what kind of stone it was, but it was on a pendant on her, around her neck. And I think it might've been an amethyst now that I think about it. And it was a decent size piece. And so she says, oh, I don't have to worry about protections. I have this. And she holds it up. She lifts it up off of her neck and let it go. And it kind of thunks down onto her neck, like right below her neck. Mm-hmm. And she goes, this is what I use. This is my protections. And I'm looking at the energy of the stone. And it was almost like a scared little kid shaking. Like, I don't want to be responsible for this. Like, that's above my pay grade, so to speak. Here's this nice little stone that's thinking that it is supposed to protect her for her in a spiritual way. It's like, well, no, it'll help you focus your intention for protection, but it's not going to protect you without you having to do anything. You can't just sit back and kick back and relax, and this stone is going to do all of your protections for you. That's absolutely not fair. It's not fair to the stone to do that because the stone isn't going to do that for you. And that would be a really naive way to think, you know, that this poor little stone is going to take care of you and you can just kick back and relax and throw yourself into the middle of some, you know, spiritual cesspool and you're going to be absolutely fine because you're wearing this necklace. I mean, I can't tell you how many times things break when you're out doing different things or it falls off. Like all of a sudden you realize your necklace is gone. And then what are you going to do if you don't know how to protect yourself without this necklace? Do you think then that you're in trouble and you can't do it yourself? So I always, when I teach my classes and we talk about anything, we never talk about using tools first. We always talk about how to do the energy work first yourself. Right. And then you can incorporate tools that will help you focus your intention, like protections.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So you talked about clearing the amethyst. So do you clear the amethyst like you clear other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mean energetically?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I would clear it, you know, just like even depends on how active my dreams are, you know, and if they get negative, then I would clear it right away. You know, I wouldn't let it sit there for a few days. But if it's something that I'm asking to help focus my intention on a daily basis, I would probably clear it daily.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm really focused on it helping me
mm-hmm.
and helping me focus my intention, I would clear it daily.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to make sure that energy that I'm working with is clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the quartzes hold memories too, correct? So, mm-hmm.
yep.
And that's they can. What I want to say. Yeah.
Well, because you know, how many times have we done investigations and you find that there is a possibility, they may not know for sure, but a possibility that there's a quartz deposit in the area.
Right.
And you have all lots of stories of residual activity. You know, that's not uncommon, is to have a lot of residual activity and some kind of quartz deposit in the land where you're investigating.
Yes.
So.
Because they hold those memories. And a crystal ball. So tell me, crystal is another form of quartz. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're related. So a crystal ball is a clear, it's kind of like a clear quartz.
It's the same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So clear quartz is, that's what it is. The crystal ball is clear quartz. And, but when you, like the one I have is not, what they do, my understanding, is they pulverize or use chips of quartz and pulverize it and heat it and, you know, melt it and add, I don't know if it's some kind of, I don't know what it is, that you can mold it. And you can mold it as a clear, you know, or anything. You mold it as anything, but it's common to do crystal ball, like a crystal ball or an orb. And so those are less expensive than if you were to find a cut piece of clear quartz that's big enough to cut into some kind of orb. Those are expensive. And the bigger they are, the more expensive they are. They can be really, really, really expensive because it's hard to find something that doesn't have any inclusions so that it's absolutely clear. Because most, I mean, a lot of it does come with inclusions. So,
right.
Yeah. And
so,
yeah.
So the chipped down ones that are chips of quartz that they meld together or whatever, are they as useful and powerful as the other ones? Probably not.
Absolutely.
They are?
Absolutely. Oh, they are. I mean, okay. Yes, they are. But if you, because I know that there's some of these, like cut skull, like different kinds of skulls out there in different kinds of stones. I think some of them are quartz and some of them are other things. And I think some of those hold a lot of other energies that might be infused by some spiritual guidance. And I think some of them might be scams too. So I'm not going to say that they're all legit, but I think some of them, you know, you get these really big pieces of quartz or some kind of stone, and then they're even carved or shaped into an orb or something that, you know, because they're being guided through whatever process that this carver makes, that could be some kind of spiritual infusion that makes them even a different vibration.
Right. Huh.
So, yeah, so there's all, I mean, I don't, personally, I don't think a created crystal ball could be any less effective than a natural crystal ball. Again, it's just, it's how you connect with it. I've had stones that I have found that are just not that valuable probably to anybody else.
Right.
But I feel an energy with it that really does help me.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I don't care what anybody says about it. I don't care if it's worth nothing. I don't care because I, for some reason, have this energetic connection with it, and it's helping me with something, helps me focus on something. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I found in, where was I? I don't know if it was California, if it was Washington State. I think it was California. I don't know. It might have been Washington State. Anyway, I found a perfectly formed white stone. It was white and it was an orb. And it was a stone. It wasn't crystal, quartz crystal. It was completely opaque. And it was perfectly round like a pearl, but it was probably about an inch in diameter. Perfect. And it was rough, like kind of sea glass kind of style, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. And it was bright. It was so bright compared to all the other stones in this little pile of stones that was just laying on the beach. And it was just magic when I saw it.
Right.
When I saw it, and it just stood out amongst all these other grays and browns and blues and greens, you know, kind of muted colors, and this bright white, perfectly round stone. And I'm walking on the beach and I just felt magic. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. If I show anybody that stone, they would think that's like a regular old brown white rock, you know? And I'm like, no, for me, it's just magic. Like, just magic. That's all. I don't have any other reason, and I don't know anything else other than it's magic. So, So it's just what you connect with it.
Right. It's like all my stones from the island, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're worth a lot to you.
Yes.
But they may not be worth anything to anybody else, but that doesn't matter because you are the one that connects with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. In fact, I have that big one. You know, I know you've seen it because it sits on the floor next to my pig, next to my iron pig.
Yes.
It's that massive one that's, you know, and I dug that out of the seabed, actually, because I thought it was the coolest thing. And it was heavy. And I brought it back home, you know, on the plane because I had to have it. But that has a lot of stuff for me. You know, if I'm having a bad day, I pick it up and carry it around like one of the cats, you know. It's crazy, but because it's big, you know. But you're right. So, and anybody else looking at that would probably say, oh, really, what is this all about? There it is sitting next to the pig in the dining room. But to me, it means a lot, you know, and it gives the whole, it's a lot of energy for me, I think, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
So
I do enjoy stones. I don't, one of the things that I don't do, I don't, because I have a lot of jewelry that I have, stones, like right now I'm wearing you can see it stuff probably.
Yeah.
Big, I don't know if you can catch the light. I'm trying to show it in Skype. But it's a really decent sized labradorite, pendant. And, but I don't wear the jewelry for what I believe the properties are of the stones. I wear them because I like them.
Right.
Because you start giving intention, you know, that this, if this labradorite is focused on helping me connect with my spirit guides and connect to divine source today, you know, and I'm really wearing it for that reason, that's fine and I can, but then I'm also going to have to clear it on a regular basis because I'm working with it. And like, we go back to what we were talking with, you know, with Swanee, you know, as I'm working with it and it's helping me focus my intention, I want to make sure that I'm keeping it clear so that it can work with me at the highest vibration that it can.
Yes. And that totally makes sense. And I know what you're saying, because I have a few necklaces too that have stones, and one of them's like red jasper, one of them is sea jasper. You know, I never knew that. I just bought them because they were cool, right? You know, and then you start looking up the what they can do for you. And, you know, both of those things are calming. So does that mean my spirit guides were saying, you need calming, honey, you need to get this necklace right here because it's this jasper, you know? I don't know.
Well, and it's possible. I mean, if that's what you thought of when you saw it, you know, that you see it and you're like, oh, wow, that really, that's so beautiful. And you just automatically start to calm without thinking about it. Then it might be helping you focus your energy and your intention into just calming. And so, you know, because it's not going to calm you. the stone isn't. Right. But it helps focus your intention into calming yourself. Yeah. And you see it and you think, oh, that's really relaxing. And then you just start to calm. And then that's maybe what you associate with it. So sometimes you wear it because you're like, oh, I feel really calm and peaceful today. And I really want to stay in that energy. So this will help me remember and remind myself to stay in this energy.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. I hear you. So, yeah, so stones can do a lot. And it just, you know, like you said, it depends on which one speaks to you. Kind of sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a handful that speak to me. And that's like, that can get expensive. But I have, I guess I'll say my top, I'll say top three, and then I'll come up with a few more that I probably can't live without. Just because I like them. And I may or may not have jewelry that goes with it, but I know I probably have them in the studio in multiples. But one of the first stones that I connected to, that I really connected to in a metaphysical or spiritual way, was Larimar. Mm. And this was, now I had connected energetically when I was a kid because I had gotten pieces of amethyst, and so I did like that. But I did lose kind of my connection with it. But the first one that I've really connected with and never have lost, and this was in my early 20s, was Larimar. Because I was in the Dominican Republic and ended up finding, they had it everywhere there. It's just, you can find it in any street corner. But I was struck by just, it moved something within me that I couldn't explain. And so I could afford to buy a little ring, which I still have to this day. And I have just always felt this deep connection with like divine water healing. And I don't know, it might mean that, I guess I would have to look it up, like the official term, but I really feel like this deep water healing energy with Larimar. And it feels very cleansing for me, and very, you know, it just kind of takes everything and just washes it away and just helps me focus on clearing myself. So if I feel, you know, sometimes you just feel like jumped up or whatever, and I just, I have a piece of Larimar, I've got Larimar jewelry, and I just hold it, and I focus my intention and my energy to just clearing myself, like washing water through me energetically, and it's really helpful. I love it. And let's see here, Labradorite, I've mentioned that, I'm wearing it today. I love Labradorite. It really is a stone that, when I am doing energy work for myself, I like working with it to help me focus on connecting at a higher level, kind of challenging myself to reach further, to connect with my spirit guides in a different way. So that's what I work with if I'm like a reminder to myself, like, you can stretch farther than this. This is, you don't have to stop here. Like, keep moving. What else can you do? And, my other one is carnelian. Love carnelian. Yeah, to me feels very ancient. Like, I've worked with it in past lives, and for many past lives I've worked with it. So when I first really started connecting with it, it felt very familiar to me, and it really does. It is something that I like to work with. Two things, which one of them is creativity, which is, I think, pretty common with with carnelian. And second, there's a couple of pieces that I have that are really helpful with protection. That one, there's a couple of stones when they came into my world. One of them, it's about the size of it actually looks like a human brain, kind of. With all the marbling and patterning. Squiggly. In it. And it kind of, it's weird, but it stands up, and it told me it wants to help with protection at the studio, and I went, okay, that's perfect. So when I see it, I think of protections, so then it helps me focus my energy on protections as well when I'm at the studio, so that I'm making sure that I help keep everybody safe. So that's something that I'm focusing on. So so those are some that I really am connected to personally. I have quite a bit of it everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
It's one of those things that I probably wouldn't turn it down if I saw it.
Well, okay,
even though I have a ton.
Well, and what about tourmaline? Because they say that is really a good protection thing.
Tourmaline,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, black tourmaline especially. And in the chat room they're saying obsidian. Yeah. There's a ton of of stones for protections. Absolutely. I'm just telling you the ones I like to work with. Mm-hmm. And I do work with black tourmaline in the studio for other people's protections as well. It just seems like carnelian is one that spoke to me for protecting the studio. And I like it for myself just because I feel like I've worked with it in past lives. And so it helps mm-hmm. me kind of feel, mm-hmm. you know, tap into some maybe ancient information.
Right. So, okay. And Ghost Dance is asking about lapis. You said something about lapis earlier, didn't you? Somebody did.
I'm not sure if I did, but I do like lapis. Lapis is, I know one of the, I do have a couple pieces at the studio that I work with people, when, especially around root chakra energies. When I'm working with people that have, did I say root chakra? I meant throat chakra. Throat chakra, blue, okay. typically is blue for throat chakra. So, lapis is very good for throat chakras. It also helps with psychic attacks. I know that can be helpful, so maybe in the protection side with that. But it's also, it's again, focusing your intentions so you're not telling lapis to do this work for you. So, you know, just protections against negative forces, negative energies. I think lapis can be really good for that. But I would work with it mainly with like throat chakra. And again, sometimes I don't know, like when I'm working with a client, I don't know what's going on with them. And my spirit guide will say, here, and they have me grab the lapis and I give it to them. I'm like, here, hold this. And they could be working on something that might be throat chakra related. It could be like physical, it could be emotional, it could be whatever. You know, voicing your, just communications, receiving, expressing in a healthy way, or dealing with maybe some kind of negative communications. I like lapis. Lapis reminds me of my grandmother. She had a lapis ring that I always thought was kind of neat. So I do like lapis. Yeah.
Ghost Dance is saying they say you're not supposed to be able to sleep with it in the room. What do you know about that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, here's the deal. I would imagine some people are going to have issues with certain stones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. I would say that it would be almost impossible to have that as a blanket statement. Because right. I assume that some people are very comfortable with it and could sleep with it and probably wear it on a necklace or wear it in their earrings and never take it off. So I would think that some people would be uncomfortable with it and some people would be comfortable. It just depends on where your vibration is at compared to the stone.
Right.
You know, if your vibration does not match the vibration of a certain stone, you may not be drawn to it. You may not like it. It might not like you. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. I can see that happening. You know?
Yeah.
So Ira is asking which stone is best for Kundalini. Got any ideas?
Well,
is there such a stone? Or it could be any of the stones.
I mean, I guess are you asking about like to activate the Kundalini? Yeah, I guess I don't.
Yeah, she wasn't specific, but.
Okay. Because there's a couple of stones, I guess, depending on where you're going with that. But I would think like a Shivalingam might be kind of helpful. And this is focusing your energies. This isn't going to do whatever it is that you're asking about Kundalini energy. She's saying activation. So I guess it depends on the road you want to take. I mean, Shivalingam might be a nice stone for helping awaken that in a gentle way. You could do something like, I mean, if you want to rip the roof off of the deal, you can use Moldavite, but that'll knock a whole bunch of stuff out of the deal. You know, Moldavite'll, that's just, most people, you talk, Ghost Dance is talking about not being able to sleep in the same room as, lapis?
Lapis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk about like Moldavite, most people can't come within 20 feet of it without having a meltdown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What exactly is it? It's got a weird name, Moldavite.
I think it comes from a meteor. It's a glass that's formed. During a meteor strike, and so they're all over the place.
Out of this world, yeah.
Kind of. It's not the actual meteor, I don't believe. Don't quote me on this. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to look it up again because I haven't looked it up for a long time. But anyway, yeah. So it, like, I don't know. I guess those are the stones. And I'm not an expert on stones either, so I'm not going to. You know, if you're trying to do a Kundalini activation, I would say anything that works with the root chakra. you know, red jasper is always nice for the root chakra. You could even do some of those black stones if you're looking. If you do connect black with the root chakra, I would connect red, you know, for root chakra activation. And then if you're looking at working, you know, this is your process is connecting with, you know, a Kundalini activation. Who cares what the websites say? Who cares what the books say? If you want to work with a stone, go to a rock shop and walk around and just focus your intention on, I want to find a stone that will help me with Kundalini activation and journeying. And then just see what stone speaks to you. Mm-hmm. And then who cares what it means? I mean, it might be just what you need for your journey that's different for someone else's journey.
Yes. Yeah. So once again, it's the stones that call to you that do the best jobs for you and work with you best.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say. But I know that there's people that would be considered a stone expert and they might say something different. But I say do what you... What connects
what
for
feels
you.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because it's going to be different. I mean, I know people, they come into the studio and they tell me what a certain stone does for them. And I'm looking at it going, cool. I wouldn't have seen that with that stone, but that's cool that it's talking to you that way. You know, yeah. I would use it for something else, but that's my path. And I'm not going to tell them that because it doesn't matter. I'll just say, hey, way to go. Cool.
Yeah. Exactly. And stones, you know, like we said, stones. Remember that piece of stone that I brought to one of our shows? Casey had come back from Pompeii and she picked up a stone and you could feel it. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, it had crazy stuff going on in that stone.
Yep.
You know, like it was ancient and you could feel everything, you know, so it probably had a lot of memories in there. Right.
Yep.
So, and knows what bad things happen there. So, yeah, lots of very interesting subject. You know, it is a very interesting subject. And, you know, the stones are cool and everybody has their favorite and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So remember to clear the stones. I guess I never would have thought of that. So good advice.
But I think it's a topic we could talk about for 4 hours, but we only have one more minute.
One more minute. I know.
So.
So, yeah, so another, yeah, so just another subject, and maybe we'll bring it back someday and get maybe a rock expert on here, somebody who's, you know, knows everything about all the rocks. You know, that might be kind of a fun thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we
should talk about what we have coming up the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so next week we have a cryptozoologist by the name of Mike Richburg, and he is out of South Carolina, I believe, and he has a podcast as well that he does with another guy. So we can ask him all kinds of things. And before we go, they found a body. I just found this out today. They found a body near the Popelik trestle. And they're not really sure how this person died.
Oh, dear.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. I mean, it wasn't like right underneath the trestle, but it was really close to Popelik Road and somewhere else. So I forgot all about that till just now. But so he'll be on there. We could even maybe ask him about that because he knows a lot about that, all that stuff too. And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to have Ghost Dance is going to be our guest, and we're going to talk about time travel.
Perfect.
So that'll
love
be it. Good one. I do too. So we had a couple of great shows coming up. So everybody, have a fabulous week. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes. Thank you, Pair X, for hosting, and Sarge, again, for producing. Always awesome. And everybody for tuning in, either through the radio or the chat room. We love having you here. So thank you all, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Night.